Hi, this is Debbie Voiles, coach at Mojo for Running, with episode number 33, The Value of Running Friends. It's great if you're intrinsically motivated to get out and run. For 25 years, I ran solo 95% of the time, and I thought I was happy with that. Then my non-running life changed in several ways over a period of years, and that drove me to find a running group. The first event, and really the only life-changing one, was that I lost my sister. She died suddenly at age 48. That sounds harsh to say she died, but I'm not a fan of euphemisms, especially when it's something as tragic as losing my sister. I never say passed away because it sounds too gentle. There was nothing gentle about it for me, my family, or anyone who knew Lori. My runs became cathartic, healing trips through the woods, and many of them would have needed to be solo runs anyway, as I coped with what had happened. But I also started to understand that I needed friends around me, lots of friends. At that point in my life, I realized that while I had many friends on a certain level, they were mostly more of acquaintances than friends. I spent little, if any, time with them outside of work. I had never felt as much stress, as much heartbreaking emotion. It wasn't depression so much as a sense of crushing overwhelm. I needed the strength, the support, the empowering effect of friendship. Not long after that, I took an online test. I can't remember what it was called, something like the Real Age Test. You had to answer something like 100 questions on everything from diet to exercise to the number of friends you had to how often I spent time with those close friends to family, how often I spent times with my family, etc. It even asked if I had lost a family member or close friend. In the post-test explanation, it explained that certain life factors had the psychological impact of making you physiologically older. That was the case with losing a close friend or relative. I can't remember how many years, but the formula added several years of age if you had lost a friend or relative within the past year. And then it added fewer years if it had been more than a year since you had lost that friend or relative. Conversely, it subtracted a couple of years if you had many close friends, and subtracted even more years if you frequently spent time with them. That's because research shows that having close friends and spending lots of time with them enhances our mental health. Of course, as an aside to this topic, exercising and eating well also subtracted years. The more you exercised and the better you ate, the more you got to subtract. Anyway, that was when I should have sought out a running group. But it didn't happen until several years later, when I found myself on a running plateau. After many years of running, I just wasn't improving anymore. As a matter of fact, and some of you may have experienced this yourselves, I crossed the finish line of 3 5K races with exactly the same time. The first time it was a PR, so that was great. But over the period of the next year, I tied that time twice. That was 10 years ago, and the time was 26 minutes and 19 seconds. I wanted to break 26 minutes in the worst way, but I just didn't know how. At about that same time, I realized I was lonely. Suddenly, several situations in my life converged to cause me to be lonesome. Specifically, I left the teaching profession after 15 years, which meant I went from interacting with around 200 people each day, all day, to, on some days, zero. At about the same time, my son Ben, my youngest, went off to college at Cal Poly in California, which is 2 plane flights away from my home in Tampa, Florida. So I had an empty nest. These things together provided the impetus for me to finally find a running group. I did, and everything changed. As I started to attend track workouts, my time dropped. I was finally clear of that plateau. But that wasn't the most important thing. As the months passed, my circle of friends grew. I went to running camp with them. I shared long runs with them. We traveled to destination races, enjoyed breakfasts and dinners, and lifted many glasses of wine. Eventually, I became a certified coach. Wow, what an eye-opener that was. There was so much I had never heard of about running and how to run well, how to train. I put that information to work, and my running drastically improved then. I started organizing weekend trail runs. I had come to cherish my time running on the wooded trails and realized most runners won't venture out into the woods unless they know the trails and are with a group, for safety reasons and for peace of mind. It was a perfect fit because I missed teaching and interacting with lots of different people. Now my weekend group runs have grown and grown. Today, 54 people came out, and some for their first run with my group, Run Tampa. Some were there who had joined me for my first group run, the first one I organized a long time ago. The group is actually exactly what I envisioned when I started it. Today's group ranged in age from 15 years up to people in their 60s. We had people who did a walk run of 3 to 4 miles, on up to quite a few who did 12 miles or longer. Everybody enjoys the company of everybody else. It's a close-knit group. Before each week's run, there's always someone planning on joining us for the first time who emails me and says, "I'm nervous about running with the group. It'll be my first time." Or they'll say, "I'm worried about keeping up with the group." After they join us once, they understand that my group runs are, by design, unstructured. Every time, I encourage everyone to do their own thing, not to try to keep up with faster runners, but to go their pace and just fall in with others going that same pace. These newer runners don't realize that trying to run fast isn't the best way, in fact, to get faster. They assume that since I'm a running coach, I'll encourage them to run fast, but I don't. What they don't understand is that I'm much more interested in them building a love of running and making new friends. The result will be that they'll get in the habit of running more miles. It'll be easier to run more miles, and that'll be more critical to making them faster. Of course, not all of them are interested in racing, but what I have seen is that pretty much every runner would like to run faster, and the easiest way to become faster is just to do more, to run more miles, to build a bigger base. And when you run with a group of people and you enjoy it and you look forward to every run, you will be able to build that base. I do what I call zigzag running during the group runs. I run with one runner or one group of runners for a mile or even just part of a mile, and then I fall back to join the next group, trying to have time to chat with everyone for at least a few minutes. Then I turn around before most of the group so I can be back at the starting point when everyone returns. I'm the luckiest person in the world. They make me laugh often and smile constantly. Even as I write this, I'm thinking about the next group run. I still cherish my solo runs in the woods and still find time for a long solo trail run at least once a week, understanding how valuable that is still for my mental health. But the runs I share with my running friends are every bit as valuable. It's been 12 years since I lost my sister. Sometimes it still seems like yesterday, but with the help of my running and my running friends, I have healed, well, as much as anyone ever heals from such a loss. I thank my friends, my sport, and Mother Nature for that. Anyway, seeking out a running group turned out to be one of the wisest decisions of my life. Have your running friends been instrumental in helping you cope with the loss? If so, send me an email telling me about it. Send it to deb@mojoforrunning.com, and maybe I'll include it in a future post or podcast. I want people to see how their life can change when they build a community of running friends. In my next podcast, I'll explain how you can find a running group in your town or how you can start your own. That's all for today. If you enjoyed this podcast, I'd really appreciate it if you would log in to iTunes and leave a comment or just rate this podcast with a number of stars. Another option is that you could send me a sentence or two in an email. I'm going to start a testimonial page on my website, mojoforrunning.com, and I'd love to include your comments. Do you ever think that you wish you had a running coach? Maybe you're stuck on a running plateau like I was. Maybe you want to train for a new distance, and you're not sure how. Maybe you want someone to go over your training regimen and give you feedback. The other day, one of my runners emailed me, and he wanted to meet with me just to go over what he had been doing with his recent training and his plans for the next few weeks as his marathon approaches. Today, I conferenced with a woman who has a half marathon scheduled 5 months from now, and she wanted guidance on what she needed to do to PR in that race. Smart woman. She's planning way ahead, and it'll work for her. I would be happy to have a phone conference with you. If you check the menu bar on the Mojo for Running site, you'll see a button that says Programs. Then click Phone Conference in the drop-down menu to get the details regarding prices for my phone conferences. You pay via PayPal. Then I email you to set up a time for the call. I'll also send you a questionnaire to complete and send to me before the call so I can better familiarize myself with you, your running history, and your goals before the call. You'd be surprised what we can accomplish in 30 to 45 minutes. I'd be happy to help you with any running issue. You can even send me a video of you running for me to analyze. One last thing. If you have any questions, please post them on the Mojo for Running Facebook page. Now here's today's quote. Sometimes the goal is not to run fast or to run far. It's to run happy. Any run is a good run if it pleases the mind.